Good morning to all. There have been so many thoughts that I've had over the past month or so about truth. And there is a scripture in Psalm 85, a verse that says, it's in verse 9 and 10. Well, we'll start in 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. And righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. First, I want us to define some terms. Mercy is loving kindness. In a very real way, the way that mercy is used in the scripture is God withholding from us what we do deserve. You know, grace is granting unto us what we don't deserve. But mercy is withholding from us what we do deserve. Truth. We've been talking about what truth is. And in a nutshell, God is truth. Everything that has to do with God is true. His mercy, His righteousness, His promises, His judgments are absolute. Everything about God is absolute. Truth pertaining to God is absolute, because there is no other truth. Amen. Absolutely. His word is truth. Righteousness is the state of one who is as he ought to be. Is your mind thinking? Are you as you ought to be? There may be some times in our lives when we are ought or are as we ought to be, or do as we ought to do, but those are fleeting moments, aren't they? Righteousness is always righteous. They are in a state of being as they ought to be. They don't just cross paths with it every now and then. And peace It means harmony or concord between individuals. This peace can be between men and men. It can be between God and man and God, and it can also be between God and God. Did you know there's perfect peace, harmony, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? They are one. That means they're unified. And being unified, that means that they're at peace with one another because they're always conducting their several offices in harmony with one another. There's no disharmony or dissonance. In that last song, and probably every song today, I was not in harmony with you all. Maybe y'all weren't in harmony with me at times. But with God, there's always harmony. That means there's peace. They're always in consistent with one another. How is this true? That mercy and peace have met together. With men, it's impossible. Mercy and truth meeting together with men is impossible. Because if someone thinks that something is true, truth says, I'm right and you're not. You got that? How many times have you known something to be true and you got mad at somebody or there was a conflict between you because you felt that you were right and that they were wrong? That's truth. That's what truth says. Truth says, I'm right and you're wrong. What does mercy say? Mercy implies guilt. If someone stands in need of mercy, what does mercy say? It judges rightly and says, you're guilty. And mercy, you are, who stand in need of mercy, are implying and judging your own self as guilty. No fallen man is ever going to imply that he's guilty of something. Mercy and truth do not meet together in humanity. Mercy says, you did wrong, but you are delivered from the judgment. Truth says, you're wrong and you are going to receive your just recompense of reward. That's what man says. Now, with men, righteousness and peace are an impossibility. How's that? Because God, who is truth, says there is none righteous, no, not one. Peace, they declare. Peace, peace, when God said, there is no peace. make with men righteousness and peace kissing one another are an impossibility. A man may be righteous in his own eyes, but not according to the truth, so there is no peace. There may be peace between people. I'm at peace with Brother Chuck, and I pray he's at peace with me. But you know what, brother? That peace is held together by a very narrow string, thread. And it could be dissolved by one betrayal, couldn't it? It could. So there's no lasting peace with men. There's no lasting peace with countries, is there? That hangs on a very shaky string, doesn't it? A very thin thread. All peace that originates between men is fragile and not lasting. You can see this in our relationships, can't you? Have you ever had a great day with one of your friends, and then something happens, and there becomes disunity? The peace is no longer enjoyed. With men, peace is an impossibility for lasting peace. Peace implies harmony. And it doesn't imply it. Without harmony, there is no peace. There's no perfect peace between men. He said, she said, you know why there's so much drama in the world today? It's because every person wants things their own way. Really, all drama is disunity and lack of peace is what drama is. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ met all of the conditions for mercy and truth meeting together. He's the only one that met the conditions of righteousness and peace kissing each other. I want us to think about this. What does truth declare? In the Scriptures, truth declares that in Romans 3 and 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we stand, friends, in terms of the truth. We're all fallen short of the glory of God. We fell short in Adam. And we fall short in our own lives, in our own practice, don't we? That's what the Bible, that's what truth declares. That we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But what does mercy declare? Let's turn over to Hebrews 8 and 12. And it says, "For I will be merciful unto their righteous unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." That's what mercy declares. It is true that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but mercy declares, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." That's what mercy says. They're guilty of the judgment, but I'm withholding that in my mercy. Even though they're unrighteous, even though all of their righteousness righteousness is as filthy rags before me. I'm going to be merciful to them. That's what mercy declares. What does righteousness say? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Friends, that's not just Paul's writing. Paul is writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but what Paul was saying was, he said, as it is written. Well, who wrote it? David wrote it. And who told David to write it? The Holy Spirit told David to write it. Because this is God talking. There is none righteous, no, not one. But what does peace declare? What does peace declare? Peace says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's Jesus talking there. He says, my peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Did you know there when Jesus was born, the angels heralded His arrival. And at His arrival they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. There had never been peace on earth before that, except before the fall. That was perfect harmony, wasn't it? After that, the curse, the fall, depravity. No, none good, no, not one. And yet Jesus comes, and the angels say, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Because He was the only peace that has ever been on this earth that's of any lasting, that is lasting. I tell you what, aren't you glad that God is both? Aren't you glad that God is truth? But without mercy, we would not stand. Aren't you glad God is righteous? But without His peace, we could not stand. Aren't you glad that He supplied everything needed to meet the conditions of mercy and truth meeting together? And righteousness and peace kissing one another. Aren't you glad that He met all those conditions? Because we've established that there's no men are not merciful by nature. By their natural man. Man is not merciful. Man is a dog-eat-dog. That you've heard it. It's a dog-eat-dog world. That's because it's true, friends. Aside and apart from the influence of God and the Holy Spirit in men, there would be no mercy on this earth, ever. And I tell you, thanks be to God that He met the conditions of mercy and peace, of righteousness and truth, kissing one another. Righteousness and peace kissing one another. How many times do you say, I'm right and you're wrong, and are merciful to that person? How many times are you right and you say that there's peace between me and the person that is wrong? How many times do we do that? Never. Because we're humans. But outside of the will of the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts, that's the only way that men could show that kind of peace with men. You know how much disunity we have in this world, all you have to do is turn on the news. And you'll see disunity between the races. Disunity between political parties. Disunity between regions of the country. You'll see disunity among families. You'll see disunity among countries. There is no unity in this world aside and apart from the unity that God gives and the peace that God gives. If none. If it weren't for His peace, I'd be despaired, wouldn't you? I'd be in despair. If it weren't for His mercy, I'd be in despair because there would be only truth that I'm a sinner. But aren't you glad mercy and peace speak? In accordance with righteousness and truth. Now, before God, there are people that don't want mercy. Because when you need mercy, you're admitting guilt. Right? Y'all think about that. If you beg someone for mercy, you are admitting your guilt and you are placing yourself lower than they are, the person from whom you seek the mercy. They're up here, you're down here. And you're putting yourself down there. That doesn't happen in the world, does it? It doesn't happen in the animal world or the human world. Again, outside of the influence of the Spirit of God. You know, Colton, I don't know why this. I think about things all the time. We were walking through the woods yesterday, and I said, I wonder about spiders. How do they figure out whose territory is whose? You know, who gets to put a web on this limb? You know, the best limb, that where the bugs will fly through. Who gets? I said, do you think they fight? And he said, oh, I'm sure they do. It's the way that the animals do. And the strongest in the animal world survives, don't they? But in the kingdom of God, who's the strongest is the weakest. See, the kingdom of God don't operate the way that the kingdoms of the world do. Because the kingdom of God operates by the Spirit of God. The only way you could navigate around in the kingdom of God is by the Spirit of God. And that's righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost, is it not? I want to talk to you about some people, some examples of people. Now, I fully, and we could go on and on and on, about Jesus being righteousness and peace meeting together. Mercy and truth meeting together and righteousness and peace kissing one another. We could go on and on and on. And I think that's great. But you know what? I want to give you some things for you. God gives us many times in the Scriptures that where men met mercy and truth. I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 15. I want to read a little bit. Verse 21. Matthew 15 and 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, remember, the Canaanites were enemies of Israel. Remember that. Jesus is a Hebrew. He's an Israelite. But he answered her not a word. Can you imagine that? Jesus walking alone. And this woman says, and calls him her Lord and the Son of David. And she cries out for mercy. And Jesus is silent and he keeps on walking. What would you do? Would you get mad at him if he was silent to you? I know a lot of people that get mad at God because they ask him for something and he's silent. But she doesn't give up. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. That means to me that she didn't give up. She kept on asking for her daughter and for him to have mercy on her. She crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's truth, isn't it? That's truth. That was true. That was who Jesus said he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It wasn't time for the Gentiles to receive it yet. Jesus, that word had to be spoken to them first. He says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. Do you know what Jesus did there? Jesus said, You are a dog. That's how all of the Israelites considered everybody that wasn't an Israelite, that considered them and called them dogs. Now, I've seen dogs like this. They're not talking about those perfectly groomed pets that we have inside our homes. These are the dogs that no one wants. These are the dogs that stay out in the rubbish trash pile, digging through the trash for something to eat. That's what the Jews called the Gentiles, that kind of dog. And that's the kind of dog that Jesus called her. It's not good. It's not meat. It's not profitable for to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. You're telling the truth. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall at the master's table. Do you know what just happened? This dear sister, Jesus said, it's not profitable to take the children's meat and give it to dogs. And she says, you're right, Lord, I am a dog. She owned her need of mercy. That's what she asked for. And now she's owning it. And she says, you're right, Lord. I am a dog. I am a dog. And yet the dogs eat. We're standing underneath your table and just looking for a crumb here or there. And we eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Those that the children don't want. Those that the children drop. We'll take anything we can get. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I tell you, that's one instance where mercy and truth met together. She admitted the truth, and God granted her mercy. Let's look at some more. And I'll tell you, if you admit the truth and beg God for mercy, He'll give it to you. I know that. When you admit and realize the kind of sinner you are, and yet the children, the dogs, and recognize your place at the master's table, and recognize who you are inside of a holy God, then you are on the right track, and mercy and truth will meet with you. Let's look at some more. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, that's the one who trusted in himself that he was righteous or self-righteous. And the other, a publican, was a despised tax collector that was Jewish or an Israelite, but worked for the Roman government. They despised them. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. This is what he said. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's got a pretty high opinion of himself, doesn't he? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to get the picture. This man, they both go up to pray. And I can see the Pharisee standing tall and proud with his eyes looking out on a podium, as it were. God, look at how great I am. I thank you that I am the way that I am because I'm better than they are. I'm better than the adulterers. I'm better than the extortioners. I'm better than those that are unjust. And I'm better than this publican right here. I'm better than him. I thank you, God, that I'm better than him. I tell you that there's a lot of people that thank God that they're better than other people and their prayers don't get any higher than their lips. That man over there, and it says he was afar off. You know why he was afar off? Number one, the Pharisee wouldn't stand close to somebody like that. And the other one didn't feel worthy to be close to the Pharisee. He understood his place before God. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes towards heaven, but he smote on his breast and he hit his knees and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's begging for mercy because he understood the truth that he is a publican. He is despised of men. He's the basest of sorts. And he understood that. And he understood, more importantly, that he was a sinner. That was the truth. And he begged for mercy. And God gave it to him. Let's see. Let's read. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever... I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. In verse 14... I tell you, that's Jesus talking, I tell you, this man, meaning the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Kingdom living. The only way that a child of God can operate and have righteousness and peace meet together, mercy and truth meet together for them, I mean in their experience, is to recognize that they're in need of mercy. Acknowledge the truth that they're a sinner. Have you done that? If you haven't, do it now. That while it's called today, I tell you this, There's mercy available for people like you and me. There's mercy available for people that acknowledge the truth of their sinfulness before a holy and a righteous God. And you know what else there's there for you? Peace is there for you. Let's look at one more. Luke 23. Turn over a few pages. This is at the crucifixion. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That's kind of matter of fact, isn't it? And the malefactors, that means those that have committed a crime, the guilty, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that mercy and truth meeting together? And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I want you to understand this, these scriptures here are talking about the experience of two men. One the God-man and the other a guilty man. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood, beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocking him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. In other accounts of the gospel, both of them railed on him. And he said, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Truth had spoken for these criminals, had it not? Truth had spoken. You are a criminal, and your punishment because of your crime is to be hanged upon a Roman cross until you die. And that suffering, you will suffer for your crimes. And the one said, was mocking Christ. And the other one said, Don't you realize, don't you fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation, or you're under the same sentence And we, this malefactor, this criminal said, he says, and we indeed justly are up here on this cross. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. There's nothing just about this just man being on this cross. There's nothing about his being punished with this sentence that has any justness about it. But we stand here, hang here, justly getting what we deserve for our crimes. And he said, the one that admitted the truth, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, wasn't that truth when he said, we stand, we hang here, we're here on this sentence justly? Wasn't that the truth? That was the truth. That was the laws of the land, and they had broken the law, and they were suffering the punishment for it. But you know, mercy met together with truth for that man, didn't it? Mercy met truth for that man. He said, today, not in 1,000 years, not when I return, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what that thief did? He recognized him as Lord and that he needed mercy at his hand. And he got it. He got it. Even on a cross, he got mercy. I believe God blessed him with dying grace, just like he did Philip when they stoned him. And he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne. Truth and mercy met together for him in a very real way. I want you to think back in times of your life where truth and mercy met together. And praise God for His mercy. And praise Him that mercy and truth met together in Christ. May the Lord bless you to realize how merciful God is in spite of the truth of our sinfulness. May God bless you is my prayer. The doors of the church are open for reception of members should any have that desire to follow Him in mercy and in truth.